Hello and welcome to the Sanctuary First podcast. This is Songs of Christmas at the Brewery. This podcast was recorded live at the Allenwater Brewhouse in Bridge of Allen on the 11th of December 2024. In this episode, we are joined by the Stirling North Church Choir and Reverend Albert Bogle.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Carols in the Brewery. I'm Albert Bogle, and we're here to share and to encourage one another in a new meaning of what the real purpose of Christmas is, and perhaps coming together to sing in a brewery seems new, but it might not be new. It might be quite an old idea. We want to say a big thank you to Douglas Ross, who owns the brewery and is allowing us to celebrate this season of Advent in the brewery. And last week we were here, and we're back next week, where we're going to have another extravaganza of music and celebration here in the brewery. But tonight we're delighted to have the singing group from Stirling North and Jackie's team with us to play for us. And we're going to have Rob Rawson, who is going to be doing some of the Bible readings. So we're going to be thinking, going back to, you might say, the source documents tonight, and hearing a story from the source documents that go back to the first century. And we're going to be thinking about what Christianity and what Christmas is all about. So it's following up with what I said about last week when I was here. If you've been listening to the podcast last week, I was talking about how we need to ask ourselves, what's the point of our life? What are we doing here? Spinning around in this universe, spinning around in space. And we're here just for a short time. And then we move off, and another lot of people are here spinning around in space. And we're all asking, why are we here? What's it all about? And the Christmas story comes to tell us what it's all about, that there is something amazing about being alive and having a purpose and a meaning. And we're going to be thinking tonight about this story, about the Creator, how the Creator of the world became one of us in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. And so I'm going to ask Rob Rawson, if you come now and read to us from the source documents that part of that story.
A familiar passage to many, but this is taken from Luke's Gospel, and I'm reading from chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee down to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you.
for the past few years, I've had the challenge to write a Christmas song. Today, I'm going to share a song. I want you to join with me, a song I wrote for the Christmas 2022. So I need you to participate in it because I'm going to sing a verse, and then you're going to, if you would sing the chorus along with me. And it goes like this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Your baby, Mary, rock your son. Mary, don't you know the Savior of the world has come? And he's walking with the wounded, he's crying with the pain, he's standing with the outcast in the pouring rain. You've got to hold your nerve here in these troubled times. You've even got to walk the line. Whoa, 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 whoa. Mary, rock your baby. Mary, rock your son. Mary, don't you know the Savior of the world has come? And he's speaking out for justice, disguised by blood and pain. Only few will recognize redemption in his name. You've got to speak your mind here in these troubled times. Even stand upon the line. Oh, whoa. Your baby, Mary, rock your son. Mary, don't you know the Savior of the world has come? He's hanging there by wood and nail. The cradle has been lost. His light still shines for all to see. His cradle is a cross. 50 years or more since turmoil touched these shores, troubled times are at our door. Whoa, 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 Mary, rock your baby. Mary, rock your son. Mary, don't you know the Savior of the world has come? But be deaf to honest voices calling out the shame. Shallow conversations make out the poor to blame. You've got to speak your mind here in these troubled times. Even stand your ground. Whoa, 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 whoa. Mary, rock your baby. Mary, rock your son. Mary, don't you know the Savior of the world has come? We listen to his story. We swear we're not to blame. We sing a Christmas carol while feeling killing fields remain. We've got to act in time and turn the dial down. The hands approaching midnight. Whoa, 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 whoa. Mary, rock your baby. Mary, rock your son. Mary, don't you know the Savior of the world has come? So we're thinking about the birth, about the coming. We're thinking about how that relates to us today and the Christ-like figure that's speaking into our world today and challenging us to think about the darkness that's all around us.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bat across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
David Nasser lives in Bethlehem today. He lives on land that his family purchased in 1916. He's a Christian. He's surrounded with Israeli settlers. He's sometimes invaded by people seeking to steal his land. He has a notice outside his door: I will not make you my enemy. I refuse to have enemies. So he lives his life seeking to be peaceful, but to seek justice. And he's been going through the courts for many years. And he lives in Bethlehem, the Tent of Nations. Over 13,000 people visited last year, helping him to harvest his crops. Because if he can't harvest his crops and show that his land has been used, it will be taken over. There's a big wall in Bethlehem, dividing people. Now, there was problems and issues there, but in the midst of all this, as we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, will you think of the challenge that it is for people like Dawood, our Christian brother, trying to live a Christian life in the midst of such turmoil and trouble? But when we sing these carols, sometimes the contrast is the reality that we've got to think about. So as we sing it, let's just listen and sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Just before we take a little break, so that Jackie can eat her pizza, I want to just share something with you. Every time I hear you sing that bit, you know, "What can I give him? Give him my heart." It reminds me of a situation in Bowness where every year we had this amazing labyrinth that we set up around the church. It's quite an extraordinary experience to go through it. And you would listen to it in the headphones and go through the whole experience. And you would encounter different things in the labyrinth as you went. And then at the very end, you were invited to take the bread and the wine. And one of the things that you had to do was, when you were going to visit Jesus, there was a bit in the labyrinth where you stopped and you thought about what you would take him. And you wrote it down in a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, and then you would take it and you would place it in the crib. A young girl, maybe 13, 14, spends an hour walking round the labyrinth, stopping and thinking, reflecting, writing. And then she comes to the communion bit and she stops and she wonders. And then she walks away. And as she walks past me. And I said to her, "Why did you stop?" She said, "I think I'm not allowed to take it." And I said, "Why?" And then I said to her, "When you were going round the labyrinth, what present did you give Jesus?" And do you know what she said? "I gave him my heart." And I said to her, "You go and take the communion. You have every right to take the bread and the wine." Sometimes we make rules that are not really rules, but we make them rules. It's all about our heart, isn't it? It's about what God does in our heart. So perhaps we can think about that for the next 10 minutes, chat with one another, get your pizzas, replenish your glasses, and we'll be back shortly in 10 minutes with the next half. Thank you. And thank you for the singers. It's great singing. Thank you. We've been thinking tonight about this in four sections. We've been thinking about the birth of Jesus, and we've been thinking about the Creator coming to be one of us. The thing is that when we think about the baby and people coming to visit the baby, there's this idea of adoration. And I've been thinking about that, you know, how do you adore someone? And often adoration is seen when there's a little baby around. You see people looking at the baby and adoring the baby, looking. And it's a verb, you know. And so we come also to think about, what does it mean to express our love and our gratitude and our awe for this baby, but also for one another and for the fact that we've been made in the image of this baby, we've been made in the image of God, that we all are part of this. So to go away and think about this idea of adoring, what does it mean? The birth takes us to the place of adoring. And then last time, the reading of "the people walking in darkness have seen a great light," it's about finding a significance. What is the significance of this baby? For people like you and I spinning around in this universe, we're only here for a little while and then we're gone. What's our value? What's it all about? What is the significance? And that's what Christmas seeks to draw us into, understanding there is a significance. There is a meaning behind all of our lives. And it takes us to the next part that we're going to think about now, is the impact this birth has on people. The story of Jesus, the impact of his life, and we're going to listen to the impact it had on the shepherds, and then we'll have the choir up to sing as well.
So now I'm reading once again from Luke 2, this time from verses 8 to 15, the shepherds and the angels. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
King and the sheep on a gold.
That particular carol speaks about bringing children up. And of course, it's written in a Victorian age, and I smile when I think of some of the wording in the carol. Christian children all should be mild, obedient, good as he. Yes, if only that were the case. And those of us who have children and grandchildren know the challenges that all of that brings. But, you know, the whole story is a story that opens us up to think about parenthood and how we mentor children and how we look after children. And that got me thinking, last year I wrote a Christmas song, and it was called Don't Lose These Precious Moments. And it got me thinking about how important it is to have these moments with our children. I'm sorry if I'm going to be knocking you out. So this song is it's really about that. And it's a song, I guess, that Joseph is written. And so I'm singing it as Joseph and just thinking and reflecting upon the influence he might have on the child. Let's hear for him. This old leather suitcase could speak on my behalf. It could tell you how I came to know my son. I was just about to walk away and tell my girl to go, but then the dream came flooding back. I'm a carpenter by trade, as my father was before, and I don't believe that fairy tales come true. So I was just about to walk away and tell my girl to go, but then the dream came flooding back. Don't lose these precious moments, what you think is not the truth. There's a life for you to shape and change the world. And the truth is never what you think. It's in the deeds that you see through. Be a father to my son, I'm begging you. Well, my girl became a mother, and my tools helped make ends meet. And the miracle of life stood by my side. But I was the apprentice, and I learned to hold my tongue. But Mary, she knew how to speak her mind. Don't lose these precious moments. There's a life for you to shape and change the world. And the truth is never what you think. It's in the deeds that you see through. Be a father to my son, I'm begging you. Well, I was so much older, and I died before his time, before he, Joe, and Hendrix sang a line. And I walked along the watchtower, and I learned to read the signs. I even saw the Star of Bethlehem. So don't lose these precious moments. What you think is not the truth. There's a life for you to shape and change the world. And the truth is never what you think. It's in the deeds that you see through. Be a father to my son, I'm begging you. Well, it's the simple conversations that turn the world around. It's the moments in the dark you see the light.
And you're just about to turn away and leave a job undone. But then your dream comes flooding back. Join with me. Don't lose these precious moments. What you think is not the truth. There's a life for you to shape and change the world. And the truth is never what you think. It's in the deeds that you see through. Be a father to my son, I'm begging you. Well, if this old leather toolback could speak on my behalf, it could tell you how I came to know my son.
We all have an influence on the people around us and on our families and our friends. And there is a life for each one of us to help shape. And let's not lose the memories and the moments we have to do that.
Our final reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisee Nicodemus, who's come to see him in secret and asking lots of questions. I'm reading verses 9 to 21. How can this be? Nicodemus asked Jesus. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Amen.
Yeah.
I wanted to sing something at the very end of this particular evening to tie in with what I've been saying earlier on last week and also this week, asking the question, who really is Jesus? You know, because so often when we think of Jesus, we think, remember last week I talked about my friend who wrote the song, Jesus, You Ain't No Blue-Eyed Baby. Yeah, and we think Jesus is a blue-eyed baby. And when we talk about Bethlehem, we can forget about all that's happening in Bethlehem just now and the challenges that's there to live in the midst of all that. And then to sing about choirs over Bethlehem singing peace on earth. And you long for that to happen again, which is the theme of this year's Bogleman song, Angels Over Bethlehem. But I didn't want to sing that to you tonight. I wanted to sing this song a way back into the 70s, written by a guy called Larry Norman, where he explores and asks the question, so who is Jesus?
Some say he was an outlaw and that he roamed across the land with a band of unskilled ruffians and a few old fishermen. And no one knew quite where he came from or exactly what he'd done, but they thought it must have been something bad because it kept him on the run. But some say he was a poet who stood upon a hill, and his voice could calm an angry crowd or make a wave stand still. And then he talked a lot in parables that few could understand, but the people feared his towers just to listen to this man. But some say he was a sorcerer, a man of mystery, and he could walk upon the water, he could make a blind man see. And then he could, and he did tricks with fish, and did tricks with fish and bread. And he talked of being born again and raised people from the dead. But some say a politician who talked of being free, and he was followed by the masses on the shores of Galilee. And he spoke out against corruption, and he bowed to no degree. And the people feared his power and strength, so they nailed him to a tree. But some say he was the Son of God, a man above all men, and he came to be a servant and to free us all from sin. And that's who I believe he was, 'cause that's who I believe. And I think we better get ready. He was a man who bought the world.
Something about that song just is so relevant today. There's something about Jesus that draws you in. And you begin to see him, yes, as the poet, as the thoughtful person, the philosopher. Then he draws you in to see he's the miracle man, but he's more than that. He draws you further in to begin to see that, yes, he speaks against corruption and he speaks against injustice and invites us all to understand all that. But he draws us further in to understand that we are loved by God and we have a purpose and a meaning for our lives. And so the birth, the significance and the impact and the purpose is all tied up in the fact that God came among us in Jesus to give us a meaning for life. Next week, we're going to be celebrating more. We're going to be back and Jim's going to tell us a wee bit about it. Jim, come up and tell us just a wee bit about what's going to happen next week, because this season we've been celebrating the brewery has been, I think, I've really enjoyed it, and I know that those watching and listening on the podcast have really enjoyed it, but we're now giving you the advert for next week. Go for it, Jim.
Super thank you to North Church. It's such a fabulous choir. I thoroughly enjoyed singing all the songs along with you. Thank you, Jackie. And thank you, Albert. Loved your songs too. And thanks, everyone, for coming too. Just thought I'd say that in case Albert does. Rob, great readings. Next week, we've got a whole collection of folks coming. And there's accordions, there's whistles, there's obviously guitars, but it's a whole festive jamboree. So if you can make it next week, don't miss it. Don't miss it. We've got Angus and Andrea coming over from Dunfermline. And we've got Neil Silk coming to play. What a musician he is. There isn't anything he can't play. And I don't know what he's going to bring. He might bring a double bass, might bring whistles, accordions, and a whole lot. So there's everything there for everybody. And we think we might get Duncan back as well. So we've got some real class in the room. So please, if you can join us, you'd be very, very welcome.
Well, thank you for coming. Can I just say, we hope to be here next week. I hope to be here next week. But Martha and I are flying out early in the morning to Belfast to just be with Linda Pollock's family. Linda, as you all know, many of you will know, was a minister within the Church of Scotland and was a close friend and contributor to Sanctuary First. And had a podcast that she did regularly with Laura Dagan. And we just felt we should go and represent the Sanctuary First community and be there in Belfast to just remember Linda for who she was. And this community that's growing on the internet, on the online, is a real community. And we want you to be a part of it too. And if you're someone who's just come into the brewery and you're not aware of Sanctuary First, go and have a look at our website and go and have a look at the podcast and at the app. Download it and become part of this amazing community. But so I will be back. We hope we will be back later next week to catch up with everyone. But Dan is going to be giving us a little talk next Wednesday. Save the best to last.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctuaryverse podcast. This has been Songs of Christmas at the Brewery. If you're listening on the Sanctuaryverse website or app, get in touch and leave a comment below. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, check out the Sanctuaryverse website and app to find more material just like this. You will find us at www.sanctuaryfirst.org.uk and on app stores for both Apple and Android devices.